Open your Bible to Luke chapter 22, please. Luke chapter 22. And I don't know about the house favorite preacher. That, you know, that can change with one or two messages, you know. And I remember, I don't know if Dad remembers this or not, but I called him. I talked to him after a Sunday one time. And I said, man, I really laid an egg this Sunday. He said, really? He said, what did you preach on? I said, the feeding of the 5,000. And he said, how could you lay an egg on that one? So I said, I don't know, but I just did it, so it's possible. But I was thinking, you know, all you have to do to get a few amens is, when the last time I preached, I preached for 25 minutes. So as long as you do that, then, you know, everyone, amen, that's right. And Dad was talking about being sick on Wednesday night, and, you know, we prayed and looked up, and he was gone. And I said, yeah, Pastor Angel was sick and everything. And my first thought was not, how's Dad, the wedding, Jared. My first thought was seeing him and Brother Dave Gardner praying together. And I thought, I wonder what Brother Gardner is thinking right now. We were just praying right close together, and he just got up. Now I'm going to get it, you know. But what a blessing, right, you know, to have a prayer partner. But you didn't get sick, did you? So, that's right. He warned you. Okay, well, there you go. But that was my first thought. But I do want to say that I am not responsible for the snow today. I did not pray for the snow. We were glad to see the snow the first Sunday we were here, but that was Abe Hansen. He told me, he's a missionary in Panama, and he told me, he said, I was really praying that I would see some snow when I was here. So the snow today is on him. But it's exciting to preach at this church. And I really appreciated Brother Allen's message on Wednesday night. And that was a blessing. And I several times thought about that. I talked to one of my daughters about it. And I said, now you're living the me-centered life. And I said, you know, Pastor Pawpaw's going to text you about that if you're not careful. But no, for those of you who are here, you'll get that. But no, I didn't tell her that. But you know, it was a great truth. And that's what it's supposed to do. It's supposed to stick with you throughout the week. And that one sure did for me. And I love this church. And I was thinking, I was standing out there waiting to walk Mom down at the wedding yesterday. And I thought, this is how it should be. This is how it should be. Family and church family. and celebrate the best day of your life with the people that are the closest to you and matter the most. And I told my girls that night or the night after in devotions, I said, that's what you want. That's what you want. How special it is to grow up in a church like this and to get married here. And what a blessing. And, you know, I think sometimes we can forget about what makes a church like this. And Brother Payne was reminded me this all of us in the class reminded us about Brother Jack Lewis. And he talked about him this morning. And, you know, I can still, Brother Lewis muttered to himself. If you remember that, he muttered. And when he would count the people, you know, but I can still remember that hand and taking that offering plate with just a thumb. And I appreciated that this morning. I've been thinking about, people like that have made this church what it is for so many years and the rewards in heaven. For their service, and what a blessing it is. We are very happy. We were very happy to be back for Cherith's wedding, and we are very happy about being here for the 50th, and that is going to be a special time. We're looking forward to that so much. So, Luke chapter 22 tonight, and a simple thought, and I hope it'll be a blessing to us. Luke 22, verse number 39, and he came out and went, as he was wont, to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. And I want to preach tonight for a few minutes on no Calvary without Gethsemane. No Calvary without Gethsemane. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for what you already did in my heart, Lord, just last Wednesday night, and then this morning. And Lord, I enjoy traveling and seeing, reporting to our churches, but I always get blessed just from being here at this church and thinking about the choir songs and just what you did in our hearts, Lord, this morning. And I pray that you would please do something for us tonight. I pray, Lord, that we would just see a simple truth or two from your word, Lord, but probably an area where many of us fail, Lord, and I pray that you would help us tonight. And we pray this in Jesus' name, and amen. You know, there have been many great victories in history, and if you think about some of the great battles that were fought down through time, some of them come to mind, such as the Battle of Waterloo and the Duke of Wellington and Napoleon. You think of Normandy. You think of the Battle of Stalingrad and the Battle of Gettysburg, different victories that really changed history or turned the tide. I think Gettysburg was the battle that changed the course of events in the Civil War. And there have been many decisive and great victories in history, but the greatest victory ever won was the victory that Christ won for us at Calvary. He bruised the serpent's head. He defeated Satan on Calvary. And you know, this is next Sunday is Easter, so this is what we call Passion Week. It's the week where Christ died. And I personally believe, you may not, but I personally believe that He celebrated, he took the Lord's Supper, if you will, on Tuesday night, and that he died on Wednesday night. And that he died and he was buried before 6 o'clock on Wednesday. And then, 24 hours, 6 o'clock Thursday night. Thursday is 24 hours. 6 o'clock Friday is 48 hours. And 6 o'clock Saturday is 72 hours, 3 days and 3 nights. And sometime in the night, before the ladies arrived at the tomb on Sunday morning, he came out of that tomb. And I believe in a literal death, a little resurrection, and in the literal 3 days and 3 nights in the tomb. And so it's a special night, and it always is a special week for me. Usually we have the Wednesday night service in Madagascar. There's maybe some songs or just something said about this is the night before, you know, not the night. But remember what Christ did for us. And, you know, he offered himself as a sinless, perfect sacrifice for the sin of the world. And when he did that, he did what no other man could do. See, it took a man. You know, none of us could, if we were to kill someone, none of us could take a plant or an animal to the judge and say, I'm going to take this, please, as an offering instead of me. It takes a person to pay the penalty for a death. But it was more than just a man. It had to be an innocent man. You see, a murderer couldn't take the place of another murderer. But it had to be an innocent man, an innocent sacrifice. But it had to be an infinite man. Because even if the innocent could take the place of the guilty, one innocent person cannot take the place of all the guilty people in the world. But thank God Christ, the Son of God, became flesh. He was the innocent, infinite God-man, and He did what no other man could do, and He provided a way of redemption and salvation for us. And at Calvary, He won the battle. But really, the battle at Calvary was won. At Calvary was won before it ever was fought. I believe that the battle at Calvary was won in a lonely garden, the Garden of Gethsemane. It is located at the foot of the Mount of Olives, where someday He will come back and put His feet there. You know, if you think about it, Adam in a garden, the Garden of Eden, fell through temptation and plunged the human race into sin. And yet Jesus Christ in a garden, the Garden of Gethsemane, when He prayed, "Not my will, but thine," he prayed, "Lord, not my will, but thine be done. Whatever You want, Your will for me, I will do. I will go to the cross." And you know, the battle is with ourselves. He said in verse number 30, in verse number 40, "Pray that ye enter not into temptation." I tell people in Madagascar, the battle is always with ourselves. It's making sure that we can do and will do the right thing. And often we win or lose the battle before it is ever fought. You know, when the disciples said, "Teach us to pray," Jesus said, "But when ye pray," and then He said, "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." And you know, many times we win or lose the battle before because of either we have prayed or we have not prayed. And I want you to notice the two words in verse 40, "And when He was at the place," the Bible says, the place. This indicates to me at least a specific place. A place that was known to Jesus and His disciples. The Bible says that it was as He was wont. That means as was His custom or His manner. And He said, when He was at the place, He said unto them, "Pray." It was a place of prayer. Now, I just want us to give a few things about this place of prayer tonight that I hope will be a blessing to us and challenge us. Number one, it was a place of intimacy. It was a place of intimacy. Look at verse number 41. "And He was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast." You know, before the desertion and the denial of His disciples, before the cruel trials, before the physical and the verbal abuse, before the weight of our sin, before being forsaken by God, Jesus sought out the place. And He withdrew Himself from the other people who were camped there, from His disciples, and He withdrew to the place where He could spend some time alone with His Heavenly Father. And I can't think of a thing that any of us need more than having that place in our lives. That place in our lives where we can withdraw from the schedule, from the noise, from the clatter, from the events, from things going on. And we can withdraw to a place and spend some time alone with God. That'll make or break us as Christians, won't it? And I think about people that I have known. I think about people who had that time, had that place. I think about Meemaw. I can remember Meemaw praying, and I can remember going to Georgia, and I can remember having breakfast on the back porch with Granny and Pops, and I can remember after breakfast was done, they'd get out the daily bread and the Bible, and they would read and go have the devotions. They would pray for their children and every day by name, every day. I can remember I was in junior high, and I stayed the night at a church member's house. They were here when we got here in 1990. They're still in this church, and I for some reason I was there staying the night, and I got up in the morning to use the restroom, and I went down the hallway, and there was one lone light on in the living room, and I can still see it in my mind, and there was a Bible there on the couch, and there was that man knelt, and he was kneeling down and praying early in the morning before he had to go to work early, but early. Before that, you know, that's what we need. That's what will make or break us. And how would it change us, our families, our marriages, our church, our country, if Christians had a place where it was our custom to withdraw and spend some intimate time with the Lord and to get to know Him and to spend time with Him? I want to say number two, it was not only a place of intimacy, it was a place of release. It says in verse number 41, and he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and kneeled down and prayed. And you know, you can see Jesus. He knows what is coming. He knows what is before him. He knows, and he withdraws from the disciples and he kneels down and prays. And we'll look at it in a second what his prayer was. What we know from the Bible, his prayer was, and it was a place when no doubt the weight of what he was about to do, the weight of what he was going to go through, the weight of all that was on him. And I can see him as he kneeled down and prayed. You know what that is? People say prayer is asking and receiving. Prayer is talking with God. It is all that. But you know what prayer really is? It is a time when we release our cares and our burdens to God. When we kneel down and we bare our hearts and we say, Lord, You know what's going on anyways. You know the fears. You know the struggles. You know the stress. You know what I'm enduring. You know the heartache, the suffering. You know the giants and the challenges that I'm facing. And it's too big for me, and I'm releasing it to You. That's what it is. And I'm thankful, very thankful that we have a Heavenly Father. You know, Christianity stands alone in that. I don't know of any other religion that has a God who is a Heavenly Father. You know, Muslims, for example, Allah is not a loving God. Muslims don't seek a relationship with Allah. They just do, do, do. That's all it is. We have a Heavenly Father. And I want to remind us fathers tonight, it is very important how we live our lives and the relationships that we have with our children, because probably our children will view their Heavenly Father in the light of their physical father. For example, I don't know, but I would imagine that if there's a dad who is too busy for his kids, never has time for them, why would that child grow up and think that God would be interested in hearing them when they pray and listening to them? Why would they think that? Thank the Lord for a Heavenly Father. Thank the Lord, we have a Father who says, where Peter said, casting all your cares upon Him, for He careth for you. That means there is nothing that is not important to Him. I want to say next that not only was it a place of intimacy, not only was it a place of release, but it was a place of death. Look at verse number 42, he said, saying, Father, if Thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but Thine be done. See, that's why the battle was won in Gethsemane before. It's because Jesus already in Gethsemane said, Lord, our Father, not my will, but Thine be done. And that's our problem, isn't it, as Christians? Paul said, I die daily. You know, if you could take the illustration, you know, the old man is buried. You can imagine the old man being buried in the casket. But what the old man wants to do is he wants to get out of that casket every day, doesn't he? And he wants to get off that cross every day. And every day we have the decision to make that not me, but His will. Not my will, but His will. Abraham had his place of death on Mount Moriah when he said, not my will, but Thine be done. Jacob had to face God about his life and the condition he was in at Peniel. He had to die. Moses had to die. He had to go back and be willing to face his failure in Egypt and face that. He had to die in the backside of the desert. Jeremiah had to die when he said, I'm not going to speak or mention anything in His name. Ezekiel had to die when the Lord said, I'm going to take your wife tonight and you're going to preach in the morning. Peter had to die to self at the Sea of Tiberias. Paul had to die on the road to Damascus. You see, that God wants to change us. God wants to use us. God wants to do something for us, but it's going to take us dying and saying, Lord, whatever You want. That's a hard thing to do, isn't it? It's easy to say, but it's hard to really live. At least it's hard for me. It's hard for us to give control, you know? It's kind of like driving. How many of you... probably, if you're going to ride in a car, you want to drive. You want to have your hands on the wheel. And we can be like that in our lives. We want to have the hands. We want the Lord to go with us in the passenger seat. But we don't want to be in the passenger seat and let Him have the wheel. Jesus said, "The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it?" Have you had a Gethsemane in your life when you died to what you wanted, to your plans, to your life as you thought you were going to live it? Have you ever had a time when you surrendered, when you said, "Lord, it's not what I want, but it's what you want, and I will do whatever. I can take you to places. I can take you to a place in Oklahoma City where I knelt down and said, 'Lord, I'll go to Madagascar.' I can take you to places in my life where I said, 'Lord, I'm dying to what you want.'" And I want to say next, it was not only a place of intimacy, a place of release, a place of death. It was a place of awareness. Look at verse number 43. "And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him." You know, the Bible mentions angels ministering to Jesus after his temptation. And it's interesting to me that at this time in Jesus' life, when he was facing crucifixion, facing suffering and death and bearing the sin of the world, that in his time when he was kneeling down and praying, not my will, but thine be done, and the cup which my Father has given me, shall I not drink it? God sent an angel to strengthen and help him. Can I tell you, the place where we are aware of God's presence is not at some contemporary church where there's a bunch of contemporary feel-good music playing. That's not the place. And it's not in the busyness of life, and it's not in other things where we become at times very aware of God's presence is at the place. The place of prayer. And the Bible says that God gives grace to help in time of need. That means when we need it, that's when He gives it. A special grace. And if you're like me, you can go to times in your life when you needed grace. And you needed help. And I've heard people say things, "I felt the arms of God around me, and I felt a hand on my hand." And I never have felt that, but I will tell you this, there have been times in my life when I have felt all of a sudden at the place a very real presence and an awareness that God is with me. The Paraclete, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter and the Helper. When you're facing something that's bigger than you, and you are at a time in your life when you need that help, it is. And if you know what I'm talking about, there's just a sense, an awareness that He's with me. That happens at the place. And I'm very thankful for his presence at those times. And I want to say lastly, not only was it a place of intimacy, a place of release, a place of death and a place of awareness, but lastly, it was a place of battle. Look at verse number 44. "And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground." That word agony means to wrestle. "And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly." There are going to be times in our lives, there are going to be situations we face when going through the prayer list is not going to cut it. When spending the normal, however much time we allot to prayer is not going to be enough. When the standard prayer times are not going to do it. There are going to be times when we are going to have to battle in prayer. We're going to have to wrestle. We're going to have to pray more earnestly. Some people call it praying through. And I'm not a Pentecostal. I don't believe all that. But I will tell you, I do believe that God's people at times are going to have to say, "I am going to wrestle in prayer. I am going to pray and pray and pray and pray, because this is not going to get it done with just a regular prayer list." sometimes God calms the storm. And sometimes God lets the storm rage and He calms the saint. Sometimes we're going to have to say, I'm not going to leave the place until at least I'm okay. One of the stories that touches me, when I went to OBC for college and I got to be under Dr. Vineyard, and he would talk about it, and every year at the anniversary, he would send out an email about his son, Lorne. And his, I think he was 3 years old, maybe five, I think he was three. And he had a surgery, tonsillectomy, and he died. And I can remember Brother Vineyard telling a story about how his wife was on medication and she was in the house sleeping or at the hospital, I forget. And he went out that night. They had a creek running in the backyard of their house there. And he went out by the creek and he sat and he made coffee and he cried and he prayed and drank coffee and cried and prayed and drank coffee. And I think in his words, had it out with God. But in the morning, he was okay. Sometimes God's going to do something in our lives and we're going to say, I don't understand this. And God's not going to change the situation just because we're not okay with it or don't understand it. And sometimes we're going to have to say, I'm not leaving this place until at least I'm okay. And it may be you have to say, I'm not going to leave this place until so-and-so is okay. I don't know what the burden is. I don't know what the need is tonight. I don't know, but I know this. There is no situation. There's no person. There's no wayward child. There's no lost sinner. There's no family. There's no marriage. There is nothing. There's no emotion that is beyond the power of the place. I think, you know, I don't think we need to go to Google. I think we need more people, more parents in the place. Coming to the Lord and saying, Lord, this is what I'm facing. This is what I'm battling with my children. This is what I'm facing. Help me. And releasing that to God and doing battle and praying and staying and saying, not my will, but thine be done. I think that'll work. I don't think that'll work. I know that'll work. And I thank the Lord for what He's done at this church. And I thank the Lord for what He's done amongst us and in our families. And I don't know what people in this room are facing tonight. But I know that He is able. And I know even greater days can be ahead for every one of us. But we need the place. We don't fail in prayer because we don't know about prayer. We fail in prayer because we don't go to the place. We go everywhere else but the place. How about you? Do you have that place of intimacy? Do you have that place of release when you can say, Lord, I'm giving this to You? Do you have that place where you die and say, Lord, whatever You want? Do you have the place where, thank the Lord, He comes in with His presence and makes you aware of His help? And do you have the place where sometimes, if need be, you have to go to battle and say, I cannot leave. Or I have to come back and come back and come back. Until, Lord, either You calm the situation or calm me. Until You work. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You for the truth from Your Word tonight. It was very simple. It was very short. It wasn't anything fancy, Lord, but You spoke to our hearts this morning in that song, Lord, Bow the Knee. And Lord, what a privilege it is to enter Your presence. How many burdens, Lord, do we carry? And Lord, I thank You for the victory that You won on Calvary. And I thank You for the example You gave us, Lord. How many battles do we lose? How many burdens do we carry? How many failures in our lives, Lord, are the result of not having a Gethsemane, of not having that place. And Lord, I pray that You would speak to us in our hearts, the invitation time.
I'll just take a minute to do something very unusual. I want to ask the choir to come to the choir loft. All the choirs just come and get in place. I want you to, Brother Luke, come. I want you to find the song that you sang this morning, Bow the Knee. This will be our invitation tonight. And if you want to use the altar, you use the altar. If you don't, just kneel. If you want to kneel at your pew, kneel at your pew. Turn where you're sitting, turn this altar into the place for a few moments where you bow the knee. The choir sings, we'll keep our heads bowed, we'll keep our eyes closed, the altar will be open. I thought one thing that was said toward the end of the message that was really, really helpful, talking about that place of battle. God may not fix the situation, but He can fix us. He can fix us. We're going to bow our knees tonight, either physically or just symbolically in our seats. You can use the altar. You can just use your seat. But this is our invitation. Did the Lord speak to your heart tonight about the place of prayer where you bow the knee? Maybe you're not able to physically get on your knee at home, but in your heart you understand you're bowing the knee before God. As the choir sings, the altar is open, the pews are open, you use the time as the ladies and men sing for you.
God of all, on His throne.
can take your seat, just the piano playing. I hope you've done everything that you needed to do today at church after the service this morning and the service tonight. Don't leave anything undone that God spoke to you about. And don't leave it here at church. Take it home with you. It's a rough old world out there, folks. It's a harsh and cruel old world. What a God we have. So take it home with you. Our gracious Father, we're certainly thankful today that you would visit with us as you have. And we certainly don't merit or don't deserve it, but we are grateful and thankful. And Lord, we want it to be more than just a stirring of the emotions, although that's fine. That's all right. You made us after your image, and Jesus wept. Lord, it's good for us. And I just pray, God, that it would be more than a stirring of our emotions. I pray that we'll carry the theme of both messages home with us this week. I pray that we will be willing to pay the price to dig deep and make sure that we're building our life on the sure and solid foundation of the words of God. And then, Lord, may we have that place and we visit it regularly. And it may be for a brief time, or it may be, as our brother mentioned tonight, that extended time when it's needed. But help us to have that place. We love you. We thank you for putting up with our humanity. We thank you, God, for using us in spite of us. We thank you for visiting with us in spite of all of our shortcomings and failures. And we realize that you do that because you look at us through the righteousness of your Son, Jesus, who is worthy of all honor and glory and praise and strength and power. May we live our days for his honor, his glory, his power. We'll thank you for it. Help us tonight. Safety on the way home. Lord, give us a wonderful week. And please don't take this away from us, Lord. Please continue to visit with us through next Sunday morning, and may we see souls saved. And through the meeting, may you speak to hearts as you have so wonderfully these last couple, 3 weeks in church. It's been great. And I thank you for it and praise you now in Christ's name and amen.